has been given to me. To be brief, be sincere, and be seated. Do thyself no harm. I'll try and fulfill that threefold expectation of the letter. Reminding myself of the fact that a man who thinks by the inch and talks by the yard should be dealt with by the foot. Before I read just one verse of scripture, I'd like to thank you for making me feel so much at home, away from home. Again, I really appreciate being here with the opportunity to fellowship with you, to be on the listening end. I didn't think they would accept me at the young people's meeting this evening. But I'd like to hear what our brother David Block has to say, and also Peter Cliff. But I have looked forward to hearing our brother Dr. Stephen Liu. The presence of Stephen and Christine makes me feel all the more at home because we've known each other for 15 years. Stephen has, on occasion, very kindly invited me to the Chinese Christian Fellowship in Ann Arbor to speak to the group. I have happy memories of a school year-end picnic at his home and bringing a message to the students at that particular time. So we appreciate that fellowship in that context and in other contexts as well, particularly at our Detroit Missionary Council meetings, and now here in Minneapolis. I should say Minneapolis, St. Paul area. As mentioned this afternoon, my father and mother were missionaries to China in days gone by, before I was born. I have an older brother who lives in Orlando, Florida. We were not born in China. My mother, I remember her telling me that from the time she was 8 years of age, she had a definite desire, born of the Spirit of God, to become a missionary. And in those days, they didn't have a mayor that was in the New York City area. But there was a missionary training school. One of the men that was especially known in relation to that missionary training school was Richard Hill, one of the missionary preachers that, I guess, as a boy and on into adolescence and young manhood, that I knew perhaps as well as I ever knew any missionary preacher personally. And I thank God for happy memories of Brother Richard Hill. My mother went to that school, and it was there that she met my father. As I mentioned, my father was born in Ireland. His parents, my grandparents, emigrated to Canada, ultimately settled in Brantford, Ontario. And my dad, through an exercise of the foreign field, went to the training school as well. And that's where Mom and Dad met. My dad went out to China first, and then Mother followed about a year later, and they were married in China and spent some years there. But then Mother became very ill and had to return. The doctor told my father that if you don't take Mrs. Rainey back to the United States, she will die here in China. They didn't have a lot of the modern antibiotics and medicines that we rather take for granted, I suppose, today. So they returned, and then my father engaged the balance of his years in active ministry in Canada and the United States. Through ill health presently, he's not able to travel as he did in days gone by. I thank God for all that I know in relation to missionary vision and endeavors and so on, first through my father and mother, and then through many, many others, right up to the present moment, that God has privileged me to know and to come in contact with over the years. And I'm looking forward to the slides this evening and to the message that Stephen will be bringing us and telling us something of the ministry among the Chinese there in Brazil, particularly the São Paulo area. I thank God for missionaries that I know in Brazil, such as the Gavin Aikens, Floyd Pierce's, the Dominic Lipsies. I pray for them regularly. So in view of all of these things, I'd like to read just one text, a very familiar text, give you an outline, which is not my own, but it's a good one. I can't improve on it. And that's all I'll have time for in relation to this particular text. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts 1:8, you really don't need to turn there, but I trust as we look at it that there will be a freshness born of the Spirit of God as we come to grips with this very familiar text. This is just prior to the birthday of the church, prior to Pentecost. The Lord Jesus was instructing his own, and he says, "But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and under the uttermost part of the earth." In this text, there are at least six things. First of all, we have the missionary medium. You. And there is that sense in which we are all sent ones. We are all the servants of Christ. We all have a job to do. The first two letters of the word gospel are G-O. And you and I are to put go in the gospel. And the missionary medium is you and me. I remember Dr. Blueberry Chafer telling us as students, God's best method is a man. And we're speaking generically. We include the women as well. A man or a woman. God is pleased to take human instrumentality and he works through that in the fulfillment of his purposes, particularly in the spread of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. God's best method is a man or a woman. We are the missionary medium. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And then there's the missionary mandate. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. This is not a choice. This is a command to go and tell. And I might add, to show and tell. That's basic, isn't it? And as by our lives, lifestyle evangelism, we heard a little bit about it. Joe Aldrich has a book, I believe, entitled Lifestyle Evangelism. The redeemed of the Lord are to say so. We're to open our mouth. We're to go and tell others, to talk to others concerning Jesus Christ. Then there's a third thing. The missionary medium, ye, the missionary mandate. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. The missionary method is that we are witnesses. The very root word that's used here, by the way, transliterated from the Greek text is the word martyr. Rather an interesting study in and of itself. And many, as we see in this wonderful book on church history, the acts of the Holy Spirit through human instrumentality, we have the first martyr of whom we have record right here in Acts chapter 7, Stephen. And some have sealed their witness with their lifeblood. Then there's a missionary message. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. I noted in the message that our brother Dave gave earlier from Acts chapter 11 in the reading this morning, we find that in relation to the Hellenistic Jews, the Grecians, that are spoken of in that chapter, that they had preached unto them the Lord Jesus. He's our subject. I was looking earlier at Acts chapter 8. And in that one-on-one scene when Philip joined himself under the direction of the Holy Spirit to the Ethiopian eunuch's chariot and went up at that crucial point and heard him reading from Isaiah, the prophet, Isaiah 53, that, and what a beautiful way to tactfully seek to introduce that witness that he gave him. Understand this? Let's not read it. Do you understand what you're reading? And then as the narrative goes along in Acts chapter 8, we read that he preached unto him the very word evangelize, or from which we get our word evangelical, evangelize, spelling out the good news. He preached unto him Jesus, literally the Jesus. There were many people in the first century named Jesus. This is the Jesus, the name of this humanity. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's why he came and became our sin bearer, shed his blood and died at the place called Calvary and rose again. And that's the message. The message is Christ died for our sins, he was buried, he rose again, and he appeared after his resurrection. That's the heart of the good news. That's the summary of the good news, and you have that stated, of course, in 1 Corinthians 15. And then there's the missionary map. Within arm's reach in my study, I keep an atlas. I love to go through maps. And I like to recall certain missionaries. Places, some of them that I've been, that I've had the privilege of visiting. And I enjoy looking at an atlas. Particularly in relation to the spread of the gospel. And where certain of the Lord's servants that I know personally are laboring. Well, here we have the missionary map. Both in Jerusalem, that's where it all began, and then in all Judea, spreading out in Samaria, and then unto the uttermost part of the earth. And then finally, there is the missionary might. Ye shall receive power. We won't go anywhere, we won't have any energizing or enablement apart from the Holy Spirit. We need to depend on Him to allow Him to fill us, to control us. That's what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I think that the Lordship of Jesus Christ and the filling of the Holy Spirit are two sides of the same coin of truth. I'd like to read in closing a statement from E.T. Pearson. It is Christianity's job to rivet the eyes of the world on Christ. The final triumph of the gospel is as sure as the promises of God. I love that statement. But we are to use prophecy not as a sedative, he says, or a narcotic, but as a tonic and stimulant. Duty is ours. Results are God's. We are not responsible for conversion, but we are for contact. We are to go everywhere and preach the gospel. All are to go to all. We are to bear our witness among all nations and leave our God to bear his witness in confirmation of our own. Now let's go to Brazil. See what God is doing there. Stephen, all yours.